This is Josh with the Inside Selling Podcast, a podcast about selling without selling your soul. Today, Jessica Watts, the VP of Sales at Jelly Vision in Chicago. It's pretty much flooding in your office today, isn't it, Jessica?
Yeah, right now. I'm staring at a puddle of water and a fan. No, I guess a vacuum sucking up the puddle of water. It's pretty fantastic.
So Jessica is in a tsunami, but she is going to record this episode anyway. Today, the topic we're going to be grooving on a little bit is what I get asked all the time, which is how much follow-up and persistence should I be doing before I start becoming annoying? So Jessica, the problem we're solving here for people is I know I've been told by people that I'm supposed to follow up and follow up and follow up, but there's this gut feeling that I have that I'm following up too much and I'm going to annoy people. And there's this line of how do I know when enough is enough? Have you seen that in your sales experience as well?
Oh yeah. I see it in my inbox right now.
So you see people try, so you're VP of sales. I would imagine you have people prospecting you all the time, trying to get your attention. And the cause of this is what? I would imagine the cause of this is sales managers saying, get the meeting, move the deal forward. And reps are feeling the pressure of closing the deal and they're getting impatient.
So for me, I feel like there's two buckets for which this topic can live, right? It's like the ones to me that are forever the most annoying are the ones where I've never even engaged in the conversation, yet we're still politely and persistently reaching out to me. And then there's the ones where I'm actually in a sales conversation. So I think it starts there. Like, what bucket are you in? Are you actually following up on anything? Or are you just being a pain?
Totally. Let's talk. I think that's a really good way to frame it. Let's actually talk about that first bucket, which is, I guess, the prospecting bucket, right? So I'm trying to get someone's attention because I want to get a meeting with them. And I put them into an outreach sequence, and the outreach sequence has 50 touches. And what's your perspective on that? I mean, I'm sure at Jelly Vision and other places that you've worked, you can't just send one email, but do you send 30? And how do you think about that, at least at a high level?
Yeah, I think it's tough. And I'm not, you know, I guess I don't think anyone probably has the exact right answer. All I can say is, you know, this is how I kind of think about it. If someone's not responding, first off, I don't think this is like, how do you sell? It's how do you communicate, right? If you were talking, imagine I was talking to you, Josh, or I was talking to a friend. If I sent a piece of content to them and they did not respond, I would have to assume that what I sent was irrelevant, didn't matter, or wasn't well received. And the same thing is happening with your prospects. And if you send an irrelevant piece of content and then continue to follow up on said irrelevant piece of content with nothing new to offer or share, you haven't earned a response, is how I feel.
You make a great point. So one of my friends is the CEO and founder of a pretty popular SaaS technology in Chicago. And he actually sends me emails that he gets all the time with his comments of what he's thinking inside his head. And this particular case, the person was trying to sell him a software to help his salespeople sell better, but he doesn't have any salespeople. And within 5 minutes of looking at his LinkedIn profile and going to his website, you could see that he sells a self-service solution. And so this is an email that he got. It was like the fifth touch. And it said, hey, you know, I'm going to redact the name. So, hey, Bob, I've tried reaching out multiple times in an attempt to connect. If I'm barking up the wrong tree or if I offended you in any way, please let me know. Whether it's a timing thing or a competitor, a simple yes would be greatly appreciated. If connecting still sounds feasible, please let me know. Don't leave me hanging. And then he has a screenshot or a picture of someone hanging off a basketball net. And my friend responded with this.
You are kidding. Okay.
Go ahead.
For real, this has got to be a joke.
No. I could actually send, this is actually a real email sent actually by a very big SaaS company.
No.
Yeah, sent by a very big SaaS company.
Okay.
So my friend.
You can't tell in my voice, I'm appalled.
So you're appalled. So my, So my friend responded with this to me. So this is the kind of behind the scenes. I know we talk about response rates, 2-3% positive response rates are considered good in outreach. This is the 98% of the people that don't respond, what they might be thinking. Mm-hmm. So he responded to me and said this, "I absolutely hate these did I offend you emails. No, you're effing bothering me." And so mm-hmm. to your point, this is what happens. I think the first sort of thing to keep in mind is make sure that when you reach out, you're actually a little bit more surgical when you're selecting the people you want to reach out to rather than dumping in a list.
Yeah, I think whenever you talk about any of these steps in the sale, none of them live in a vacuum. I don't care how good your email is, even if it's just amazingly personalized, if you send it to someone and it doesn't make sense for their business, you failed. It's just like when you're sending a piece of content, prospecting is just as important. It never becomes less important. None of these steps ever become relevant at any point.
Totally. Totally. So I think, you know, tip number one is make sure that the person that you are reaching out to, you genuinely believe that you can help them do something better. So yeah. If you're dumping in lots of leads, whether you're using Lead IQ or Data or Discover or Zoom, and you're dumping in lots of email addresses, and you haven't taken the time to look at the website or at the prospect, that's tip number one. So I'd rather see people, and I'd like to have your perspective on this, smaller lists, a little bit more surgical rather than this sort of broad approach.
Yeah, I think it's a little empathy. No, I mean, consider the respect that you and the care that you put into your own personal inbox and keeping it organized and managing your tasks and your to-do list. If I just fire off like a bunch of emails about how I like Kit Kats and you're allergic to chocolate, who cares? It is offensive. Like you are stepping on my toes. I guess how would you like it a little?
Yeah, great point. Yeah, would you want to get the email that you're sending? I talked to Ryan O'Hara over there at Lead IQ, and he has a great thing that he talks about, which is when he sends a prospecting email, and his are super personalized, he spends, you know, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes on each email. So he's on the extreme end of the quality side. He feels it's like he's so proud of it. He said that it's like macaroni art. Like he would feel proud putting it on his refrigerator. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this idea of making a really good first impression in that first touch, because it's so important. You only get obviously a first chance to make a first impression. So said my mom. And what can you do on that first touch to warm up subsequent touches?
Yeah.
What are some creative things that you can do? Morgan over at Terminus talks about sending, you know, a video email. She doesn't expect to get a response back, but what it does do is when she makes the call, she says, "Hey, I'm Morgan. I'm the one that sent the video." And it just creates a little bit more of a personal touch that's a little bit more standout. Jessica, what do you think about that?
I think this is interesting because it goes back to something that I've been thinking, which is brand is increasingly more and more owned by sales. Because it's the interaction that's the interaction that you are representing your brand with that first touch. So what is your brand? What is your brand of sales? How do you want to make your prospect feel, right? Have you even thought about that? Because if you haven't thought about that, I'd say stop, think about it, and then kind of direct line as to if you're achieving that or not, because your prospect will feel something. Whether you want them to or not, much better to be in control of that experience and be curating it. So that whether they are walking away with a beautiful idea of you or not, they're walking away with a beautiful idea of your brand, whether that product is specifically relevant or not in that moment, which you can't control.
Love it. And I think at Jelly Vision, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, the idea here is, can we make people feel good? Can we be a little off center, make them smile? And so what are some of the things that you guys have done over at Jelly Vision from a first touch perspective that makes an attempt to be a little light, I guess, and make people feel good?
A lot of times first touches, we go one of two directions. And I think you sort of mentioned one direction, which is hyper-personalization, right? our playbook is that a BDR doesn't make a call, a BDR doesn't make an email unless they have at least a fundamental understanding of what the company does and have a hypothesis of what the company is struggling with. I don't care, as you know, sort of a prospect, whether your hypothesis is right or wrong. I care that you have an opinion, that you're bringing a unique perspective to the table. I'll correct you if you're wrong, but at least I'll be engaged enough with you to see that you're making smart assumptions. That is a moment of which I'm judging your brand. I'm judging, you know, how smart your company is. And so we either go by way of like hyper-personalization and sort of prescribing what we think is probably the problem based on what we know about your industry and similar organizations that we're currently engaged with, or we're not asking for anything. We're giving you a piece of content so that you can engage with our brand and sort of warm up.
Totally. Yeah. We talk a little bit about the call to action, and there are many that don't involve asking for someone's time.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about different ways in which you can make that first impression. You mentioned one of them there, this idea that you have to have a way to help someone be more awesome based on a hypothesis. The second part of that, though, is you also have to communicate that in a way that's memorable. So one of the things I do in my company, and if you've been listening to this podcast, you've probably heard this a bazillion times already, is for my high target accounts, what I'll do is I'll send a direct mail, and it'll be in a green envelope. And inside the green envelope, I'll have my way in which I think I can make you more awesome. I'm sharing a new idea that perhaps they haven't thought about yet. And I'm including usually something in the envelope. Usually it's like a picture of something that ladders back to something I learned about them. And then when I make the call, I'll say, my name is Josh with Sales DNA. I'm the guy that sent you the green envelope. And that usually always gets like a, oh yeah, I remember that, or a chuckle. It's something memorable. So this, the formula here is both of these things, right? The formula is make sure the idea helps someone be more awesome, and that's unique and new perspective, and marry that up with communicating it in a way that's gonna make people smile. So it doesn't sound like these traditional email templates that everyone's copying. And I know Jellyvision is so into that as a brand, this idea of making people smile and feel good.
I think it's too, it's really tough. If I was a new seller right now, that would be very hard for me. Because I'm a new seller. I sit down in your organization, you give me a tool like SalesLoft, Outreach.io, yada, yada, yada. And you tell me, the organization is telling me as a new seller, what content I should be using. In a lot of ways, I think we should be a little afraid of that, because we're sort of asking our reps to turn their brains off and to stop engaging or thinking about, you know, how we can make personalized connections or, you know, relevant application of a value prop. We're definitely turning off creativity. And I think sales I think you agree with me. It's a pretty creative field.
Totally.
And creatives are drawn to it. So it's like, what are you doing to the person that you're just asking to push buttons all day on pieces of content that you're testing en masse?
You know, you bring up a great point. I think, and feel free to disagree, that the future of the SDR role is almost going to be like a little mini agency. Like, yeah. Imagine like five different people in a room, and maybe it's not just sales reps, right? It's a marketing person, it's a musician, it's a programmer, you know, I don't know. And they're in a room saying, this is one of our high target accounts. What interesting thing can we do or send that's going to be a little bit different and be able to capture their attention? Ryan O'Hare, another great tip is to do a talent audit in your company. I mean, Jessica, I know you happen to be a great singer, but like, are there singers? Are there piano players? Are there people that do magic? You know, how can you leverage the talents of your SDRs for that piece of that we're talking about, which is the presentation in an interesting way? So it's not just what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. And so another tip, another takeaway, to be able to not be like this person that's following up and following up and following up, is to do a talent audit and make that touch one super special. To wrap up the prospecting part though, how do I know like when to stop? Am I sending the, hey, did you get stopped on by a unicorn email? Like, I hope not, but like, how do we know enough's enough? What's that sort of last touch, I guess, so that we don't cross over that arc of being persistent in a way that's annoying? Like, how do we know?
I mean, I think in that, that's tough. I think I think it starts with an audit of the communication that's already gone out the door, kind of to everything that we've just talked about. Go back and read your first piece of communication, your second piece of communication. Did you say anything different? Did you say anything that you particularly feel is relevant, that you really feel is going to move the needle for their business? And I think if that's where you're at with it and you truly can't understand sort of why your product isn't being embraced because you feel like it has a true application, say that. Hey, like, I cannot help but think there is an incredible partnership opportunity here. I'm so sorry because I must be doing a terrible job of articulating that. Can I hop on the phone with you for 10 minutes?
Yes.
Just be a human.
Just be a human. And I love the idea of sort of apologizing and taking the responsibility. And I love also what you said about it's not the prospect, it's you. And we had this saying, you know, back in the day when people would say they're not interested, it's usually because you're not interesting to them. And so Your point also is also great. If you have two or three ways you can help people, I think, you know, I know we are in this mode of like send 10 emails. I am not of that belief. You know, if you have three or four unique ways, then you send three or four unique emails. If you have two, you send two. Make the first touch awesome. If you have six ways, six ways. But this idea of the bump email and the follow-up email and am I barking up the wrong tree email on touch six are the things that are going to annoy people.
All right. I have to say, even so, like, imagine there was an ecosystem where those were successful. It was successful because you annoyed them to respond. That's not a positive response. So it's like the whole concept of measuring sentiment. And I think that's really interesting right now and, you know, worth the conversation about that. But it's like, just because you got a response doesn't mean that that was a response well earned or even a positive response.
Yeah. I mean, the final tip here, it's the sort of litmus test. Would you want to get all these emails? Would these emails annoy you? And so we talked a little bit about some of these tips. Okay, what we're going to do is end this episode. And in part two of this, we're going to talk about persistence in the second bucket, which is when you have an opportunity and someone maybe has gone dark. So Jessica, awesome session. And thanks for your perspective on persistence. How much is too much with regards to prospecting?
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And good luck with the flood.
Yeah, they don't get electrocuted. That's all I'm asking.